Sports, wine, life. This is the Macko and Cause podcast.
Hey, everyone, and welcome to the Macko and Cause podcast. I'm Matt Cause. That's Bob Mackowitz. Bob, we were just talking 9 seconds ago about you leaning into being a douchebag. Do you need me to be your Mr. Miyagi instead of paint the fence? It's pour the wine or start the boat.
I love that. You can be my douchey Yoda.
Oh, douchey you are.
That's so funny. There is no try, only pour.
Oh, no. But try this appetizer. Tasty it is.
You know, you're eerily good at that. I was just saying, we got back from being up north, and we have a place up north. It's not a super big place. It's not like your island, and I'm not saying that as a shot. I'm just putting it in context. We looked at cottages a few years back. It was insanely expensive. We thought, if we do this, we literally can't do anything else. So we got a little place at Deerhurst, a rental, and we spend time up there, and, you know, the rental helps to pay the mortgage. It's actually worked out amazing. Point being, though, I've never really thought of this as a, like, it's an incredible luxury to have a second place like that, but it's not lifestyles of the rich and famous either.
Yeah. Yeah. It's somewhere in between.
Yeah. You know, I mean, believe me, I am not looking down on the fact we're in a position to do that. That's an incredible thing. But regardless, I was saying to you, my dad laughs that we're now living this bi-coastal existence, the coast of Lake Ontario and the coast of Peninsula Bay. And I said to you, maybe I need to lean into this thing. You know, I've always been resistant to anything that smacks of fanciness.
Yeah.
But you seem happy.
I am. Okay. I love this. Yeah. So first, you just need to tell people, even when they don't ask, that you're heading to the cottage. You don't say the lake or anything. You just say, yeah, going to the cottage.
So I should replace my annoying conversations about my daughter's grades with annoying conversations about the cottage.
Yes.
Perfect. I can do that, I think.
Also, some other things.
Look, you know me. You know me. How could I present and live differently so I'm more like you?
First, you're going to have to go to general stores to get your cheeses and things. You're going to have a couple artisanal things that you just can't live without. That you also need to tell people about.
Now, why is that not hipster? Why is that not hipster? Why is that doucher?
Because you're up north. Once you get north of Canada's Wonderland, it's no longer hipster.
Okay, cool. I remember one time I was at your cottage. The only time we've never been invited back because of the infamous Scrabble game, which we've discussed previously. Oh, I also...
And you ran the Sea-Doo into the dock.
I crashed into the dock on the Sea-Doo. So, okay, I wasn't the ideal house guest. But you took me to a place by boat where we bought fancy meat.
Yes.
What is that place? Do I need to get to know this?
It's called Morley's. And I'd say it's one of the more expensive butcher shops, but damn good. But yeah, if you can boat to pick up essential goods, then Bob, you're halfway there to full douchery.
Well, the greatest thing in the world is the swim up bar, right?
Oh, God, yes.
So this is basically the transportation version of the swim up bar, where you take your boat, you dock it, and or you tie it off or whatever you call it, and you go and buy fancy meat. It's like a swim up bar.
Oh, yeah, except you're not sitting next to someone who's pissing because they've just had their fourth Coors Light.
You know what? I got to tell you, before we got a ton of sports to get to, but I've suffered two indignities in the last, 2 hours. And I'll go over them over the course of the show. But the first one is, I may be in pain when I laugh today. I've got allergies and I pulled a huge sneeze and I think I pulled a muscle in my rib cage.
That is a sign you've gotten older. But yeah, that happens. It's sneaky painful. And the thing is, no one will give you sympathy for it. It's like when I once stubbed my toe so much, like I saw stars, but I couldn't ask for sympathy because all I did was stub my toe. Same thing with the rib injury on the sneeze.
Nobody bleeds to death from a paper cut.
Exactly.
But damn, it hurts. I was just working and Sandra's upstairs on a Zoom call and I stifled another sneeze and I knew this was trouble because I yelled, ow, but I didn't realize how loud I yelled it. She actually stopped her call, ran down and said, is everything okay? Oh, it was just a sneeze that I suppressed.
At that point, did Sandra look at you and go, for better or for worse? Today feels like one of the worst.
You know, she's had a lot of those moments and she's still here. So I don't know. One of those things you'd have to ask her. All right. I've got another indignity that I'll get to later, but, all right. So good coaching on that. Actually, I want to do something later where we go through a few of the Leafs and create wine pairings based on their seasons. I came up with some ideas, but first, Leafs Habs, it's set up, buddy. What do you think?
I love it. I love it because it's Leafs Habs. It just feels bigger. I mean, Edmonton and Toronto would certainly, I mean, that would be number one, but it just feels bigger than Toronto versus Winnipeg. That just feels like, oh, okay, a lot of talent on the ice, but this has more gravitas, more buildup. It'll lead to more social media bickering. It's Brendan Gallagher's a great villain. The mystery of Carey Price. Love it. I can't wait.
There's something in cognitive behavioral therapy called attentional bias. And what it means is your brain is basically wired so that if it perceives something to be a danger in your environment, it has to focus on it. Like, it's not a question of will. It's wired to focus on the danger. So I went through all the things that could cause us to lose this series. My CBT attentional bias preview. And Brendan Gallagher is my number two. In fact, you mentioned my two big ones, which makes me even more scared because it means they're top of mind for you too. Carey Price and Brendan Gallagher. My brain is now focused on them because it's wired to be focused on them. Brendan Gallagher obviously can't beat the Leafs by himself, but he can be a real pain in the butt. Carey Price actually could beat the Leafs by himself. And he's beaten the Pens before, so it's not like this sort of thing hasn't happened. Eventually he's not going to be the guy who can do that anymore, but we don't know if he's past his due date just yet. So this is what worries me, Matt.
Yeah, I absolutely should. Let's start with the minor one, then we'll get to Price. But Gallagher, you look this year, there were guys on Montreal that put up more points. Tyler Toffoli. Toffoli doesn't scare me as much. Gallagher always plays well against Toronto, and it just feels like he's a guy that'll somehow be involved with 75% of the goals Montreal scores in the playoffs against Toronto. He might not get the goal, but he's somehow going to play a part. And as for Carey Price, you just don't know. There is absolutely a chance of a release the Kraken, and suddenly we're writing those articles of, oh, Carey Price looks like the Vezina Price of old. Those are the scary headlines that are in our heads.
Now, I have to be clear. I don't think these things are going to make a difference. The Leafs are better. And yep. I think they're better constructed for the playoffs this year. I think the young guys have learned a lot of lessons about how not to take their foot off the pedal. But what's interesting is what you're pointing out is really the Habs strategy. The Leafs need to score, and the Habs need to score just enough. So Everything in their playbook is going to be, how do we get just enough goals to beat them? And that comes back to goaltending, and it comes back to stifling the superstars on the Leafs. And, you know, Shea Weber is a good matchup for Austin Matthews if you're a Habs fan. And Brendan Gallagher has the ability to be a real pain in the ass. And Josh Anderson, we didn't mention, but, you know, I think that the Habs can, like, I saw Leafs and five was trending the other day.
Yeah.
I think six. It could be five. I think six. I don't think the Habs have enough talent to take them to a game seven. But if they do all the things they can do, I think they can take two games from the Leafs.
It's funny. One thing about Josh Anderson is he has no fear, and he is not in awe of the Maple Leafs at all, which is the right attitude to have. I don't know if you heard Craig Button. Craig Button went on SportsCenter, went on with Jay Onwright, and said he doesn't think Montreal is going to win a game. And I remember him saying that, and I'm going, thank you, Craig, for the content. But then after that, I'm like, oh, man. Like, that's just every Leaf fan. It's so weird. We all know that Toronto is better. We all know Toronto's more talented. We all know they're much better built for the playoffs. And yet we still have this fear.
I don't think this will happen, but I remember back to when the Leafs would beat the Senators in the playoffs.
Yeah.
But the Senators were the better team. It's just the Leafs came in and beat the shit out of them and intimidated them. And I don't think the Leafs can be intimidated this year. I think Dubas has done a really good job of getting experience and a certain degree of toughness. They're going to be much tougher to play. I don't think they're going to fold, but it'll be a battle. it'll be a really interesting battle. And I think, like, I'm so pumped for this series because it hasn't even started and I already feel exhausted.
It's so much of it's just Will. And I here's the thing that makes me feel good. The Leafs will be patient. They're so much more mature. Even if Montreal's mucking it up and the game gets ugly in the neutral zone and they go full New Jersey Devil, I think this Leaf team's like, nope, don't worry. Just wait. Eventually the holes will be there and we will pounce.
We've got TJ Brody now, and that gives us a guy you can throw out there in that final 5 minutes, and you feel a lot more comfortable saying, I don't think we're going to give up any crazy leads when the other team is, or when the other team is pushing, we now have the roster to stifle that push. And that was never the case before. It's great to see John Tavares playing much better because they're going to need that depth down the middle. And I hope, fingers crossed, but there's enough pieces that they can construct a third and even a fourth line that's going to contribute. These are all things the Leafs didn't have in the past. There's no reason why they shouldn't win this unless just playoff weirdness happens. The Habs play a perfect series. And then we cry for 5 months.
Oh, I don't even want to think about it.
Me neither.
I would not want to go on air. I would not want to go on air if the Leafs lose. But I feel so confident about it. Like, I feel like, here's the thing. The hard part is we don't believe it until we see it. It's like in the NBA playoffs. We still believe Anthony Davis is banged up. LeBron James was held out another day. But I'm like, nope, Lakers are going to do it because they always do. Like, LeBron always gets to the finals, and Denver and Phoenix, your nice, fun stories, they're there. But the problem in sports is we don't believe it until we see it. And that's sort of like with the Maple Leafs, because the year they've had this year, they deserve our trust and our confidence. But as a sports fan, part of us just revert back to, until we see it, we can't believe it.
As sports fans, we're like raccoons. If we believe that there's somewhere where we can get fed, we will keep going back there until the food source runs out. Yeah. And that's how we are with playoff experience. We will keep going back there until it's proven to us that there's no more food.
And you look at it, you know, the Leafs, they lost to Washington, Boston, and Boston. Those teams were all the favorite. Now, if you're a truly great team, eventually you just got to beat the favorite and be the favorite. Against Columbus, the defenders will say, well, Toronto shot 2%. My pushback there is, well, they needed to do more, which I know is very simplistic. But, I mean, you can make lots of arguments that, you know, every time the Leafs lost, there is a perfectly rational reason for it. The problem is they would lose in spectacular fashion. We just need a good, as you said, six-game series where, you know, you kind of feel Toronto, well, they were always in control.
The other thing is, twice they should have won those series. They shouldn't have beaten Washington, but they had every opportunity to beat Boston twice. And the irrationality of a game seven is something you just want to avoid. You know, Carey Price, Jack Campbell, Freddie Anderson, whoever it is, like, some goalie has the opportunity, positively or negatively, to affect the outcome of this thing. And there's no rationality to it. It must be like an NFL head coach who looks at his kicker and says, God, don't let it come down to you because I don't understand you.
Yeah.
You know, will be the first people to tell you, I don't know what goalies do. I don't know how they do it. I just want them to do it.
Matt Murray was a star. Jordan Binnington was a star. They became stars for a brief moment. Matt Murray ain't as much of one anymore. So, yeah, with the goaltender in the playoffs, it's part precedent, but it's also just part voodoo.
Quick sidebar here. And then I want to get into Leafs wines with you. Do you have an annoying Habs fan in your life?
Thankfully, no. Actually, I don't have an annoying Habs fan in my life.
I have Canada's number one annoying Habs fan in my life.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Oh, Strombo, of course.
We should put him on Friday so we can get him involved in this. He, even though he's living in LA now, he's still obviously super pumped about this. What we were thinking of doing was hooking up our PlayStations online and going on Twitch and then after every game, replaying it ourselves on video.
Do you know how to do that? Do you know how to set all that up?
God, no. I'll just follow what someone tells me to do, Matt. I can't even like get the toast to the right setting.
I figured like you were going to need like a team of of vaccinated masked 20-year-olds in your home to get that worked out.
I'm working with them now at Apple. By the way, one of the sneaky things that couples never agree on is what setting on the toaster you should get to. What is it in your house? Because I like my toast lighter than Sandra. So I wind up getting all this dark toast all the time, and it drives me crazy.
Yeah, I like mine a little bit lighter as well. I don't want that dark crunch. And you're right. No one ever agrees, but it needs to be said, Bob. I don't know if you did that on purpose, and I missed it the first time when you said, I don't even really know how the toaster works. One of the best lines from Hannah and Her Sisters when Woody Allen is talking with his parents, and I think it was the dad that says, you know, what do I care about what happens after life? I don't even know how the toaster works. And I'm bungling the line, but it was so well delivered. What's that?
Doesn't he say, I don't even know how the can opener works?
No, it's the toaster.
Okay, great.
So that just reminded me of that line.
It's funny because I kind of was referencing that.
Yeah, I should have picked it up right away. It took me a half a beat.
Okay, Leafs Wines, are you ready? So here's the idea, and I even think we should probably send these out online, maybe on our Twitter or possibly Instagram page. I give you a description of a wine and a person, and you tell me what wine that would be, okay?
Sure.
So for example, if what wine would apply to Kyle Dubas, and it would have to be a young, bold expression, not for the old school, kind of a new school wine.
I'm going to go with, this is kind of old schooly, because it's from the old world. I'm going to go with Cru Beaujolais. Like Beaujolais is usually very light and fruity, but Cru Beaujolais, like single vineyard, which again is in Burgundy, it's 100% Gamay. It's a youthful wine. It can be drunk young, but there's a lot of depth and power to it. So give me a Cru Beaujolais for Kyle Dubas.
Oh, I like that. Okay, Joe Thornton, something with a jumbo body and a long finish with great credentials.
Ooh, okay. So a big body, long finish, great credentials. I'm not going to go with like a Napa Cab because that sort of power should be left for an Austin Matthews. I'm going to go with Rioja, which is in Spain. It is Tempranillo. It's got a lot of spice to it, just like Joe Thornton's game. But there's a lot of power. You get a good linger to a nice good Tempranillo from Rioja.
I have no idea if this is true, but I'm loving this so much. Okay, Jack Campbell. It would have to be a wine that people basically forgot about, but then it came back with a surprisingly strong year.
Okay, they forgot about it, but it came back with a strong year. I'm going hipster here. I'm going to go with a Fino Sherry. People forget. Oh, perfect. Okay, Fino Sherry. People forget about it all the time. But once you try it, you're like, wow, this is really good. And the crazy thing about Fino Sherry is it takes a lot of work to make it, but it is super cheap. Jack Campbell, very inexpensive, but you forget it's around. But then when it's out there, you enjoy it.
The weird thing is, Matt, I think you were born to do specifically this. Okay, Ilya Mikheyev, bold up front, but no finish.
Well, because I'll have to shit talk the area. I'm going to go with an Australian and not like a high end, mass produced Barossa Shiraz, big fruit, big all over the place. But then it just does not leave you satisfied in the end.
Okay. And the last one, the Austin Matthews. Now this has to be a superior wine and something that is peaking this year right now. So it's like one of the best bottles you could get at vintages, but it has to be something that's good this year. Like it's grown into this moment.
I am going to go with 2005 Chateau Palmer. Chateau Palmer is from Bordeaux. It is there in Bordeaux. There's five growths. There's the high end wines on left bank, first, second, third, fourth, fifth growth. Now it's a third growth wine, but quite frankly, it drinks like a second growth, and some years it might even be first growth. But because Austin Matthews hasn't won the playoffs yet, he's not going to be Chateau Latour. He's not going to be Margaux or Lafite or anything like that. But you know the power is there and the potential. You drink the wine and you go, why isn't this a first growth wine? Like Chateau Palmer absolutely should be. So that's Austin Matthews, 2005 Chateau Palmer.
You said words. That was that was really impressive, I think. Let's send some of those out. actually on Twitter. Just, I feel like we should pick one or two and do that because people love when you talk about wine. I love when you talk about wine. I don't even drink.
Yeah.
Not very much anyway. Although I did drink some sake the other day and that was really pleasant. It's nice to have a little buzz sometimes. Anyway, we can talk Raptors, Maddie. We can talk about the NFL schedule and week one and the games that just came out. We can do random questions. We can do anything you like. Where do you want to go, pal? It's your call. Dealer's choice.
Here's what I want to go. I'm just writing down. Let's see. Thornton Rioja, Matthews Palmer, Dubas was crew, Beaujolais. Ooh, ooh. And Campbell, Fino, Sherry. Here is what I want to do, Bob. You mentioned the NFL schedule. Mm-hmm. And just full disclosure, this is my opening thought, so I can workshop it with you.
Okay, great. I love this.
What is more useless in the world of sports? I'm going to give you two options. The final three games between the Vancouver Canucks and the Calgary Flames, and these three games all take place after the playoffs have started south of the border. That, or at 8 p.m. today, the NFL Network and ESPN and their coverage of the full release of the NFL schedule.
I'm going to go... But it's hard not to go with the NHL. This has got to be unprecedented where teams that aren't in the playoffs are playing after teams start the playoffs.
Yeah, it feels like European soccer.
Honestly, Matt, they should start us. There should be absolutely nobody with an NHL job in those games. I actually like the schedule preview. I don't know why. It's not the draft. You know, it's not free agency. But I feel like... Because the schedule is so compressed in the NFL, and because your schedule really is your destiny, I think there's some importance to it. I actually don't find it that useless.
All right. So we could debate this, and we'll first start with the NFL schedule. If you want to know, you can find out who the 17 teams you're playing. Yep, that's right. It's 17 week schedule. Everyone loves odd numbers. Fantastic. But you already know the teams you are playing. So it's not like really the only thing you're going to learn is A, how many primetime games you're going to get. And if you're a Bills fan, you're like, we better get as many of them as possible. Why does the NFL hate us, small market? And two, just the order of the games. Like, it's not like today's the day where they randomly pick who your schedule is. That's been known since the end of last season. So it's really just figuring out what the order is of the 17 games. And yet it's going to get so much coverage. It really is quite silly.
Now, it is a disproportionate amount of coverage. I will give you that.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, you know, when you're waiting for to find out when Game of Thrones is going to start back in the day. You weren't sure what the new season, when it was going to begin. And then all of a sudden you'd see a commercial that revealed no details about what was going to happen. But it just said like, August 3rd or something, and you'd get excited. Mm-hmm. I kind of feel like that's what this is. It's literally just a way to get you excited.
Mm-hmm. It's an infomercial. It's a marketing campaign, but the only difference there is it's very smart. It's brilliant, but the difference with the NFL schedule and your example with Game of Thrones is right before that Game of Thrones promo came out, you had no idea when it's going to start. I can tell you right now when the NFL is going to start. It's going to be the Thursday after the Labor Day long weekend. I know when it's going to start. I can see the Giants are going to play these 17 teams. I just don't know the order of it. And will the Giants get one or two Thursday nighters? They certainly don't deserve a Monday or a Sunday nighter.
So if you knock an electron loose from an atom, it'll float around and then it will look to attach to some atom out there and it will create some kind of ionized particle. I say this because that's how I feel like NFL narratives are with this schedule. I could list out a bunch of games and you'll get excited to talk about them, but really it's just because your narrative is looking for a place to live. Just like that little electron is looking for another atom to bond to. For example, week number one, Jaguars versus Texans. That's a bit of a nothing game until you go, how's Trevor Lawrence going to look? And then all of a sudden, you become focused on Jaguars versus Texans. I kind of love that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no. And see, there's the positive side of it is it as long as you the worst thing in sports radio is when the local guys would look at the schedule and predict what the record is. It's like, you know, if you're a Jets fan, Dolphins, that's a loss, you know, and you're just going up and down, and you're just doing prediction radio. But when you do look at week one, you wonder, how's Trevor Lawrence going to look? Is Tim Tebow on the team? You can look at the darker side and wonder, is Deshaun Watson going to be on the roster? So you're right about that. To me, the entire NFL schedule release comes down to one thing, Bob.
What's that?
Tampa Bay versus New England. Mm-hmm. We know that the Buccaneers will be traveling to Foxborough. That is the one that everyone is going to be wondering, when is it on? And it can't be a Sunday afternoon game. That's got to be a Sunday night or a Monday night game.
I would think it's a Sunday night. We can be pretty sure it's not a Thursday.
Nope, that's the home of Jacksonville.
Thursday night, where Jacksonville lives.
Yep.
Yeah, you know, look, you've always pointed out that during the great, you know, recess that is the offseason in the NFL, NFL fans will look for any reason to get excited about the game again.
Yep.
This is clearly an oasis in a desert of waiting for football to start. So I'm going to ask you, like, let me just rifle through these games and you tell me how much this schedule makes you excited for these games actually being played. Browns and Chiefs.
Oh my God. Are you kidding? It's, you know, both teams won playoff games. Both teams are on the rise. Cleveland focused more on their defense at the draft. Baker Mayfield, you want to get paid the big money? You got to do it. And Kansas City's revamped offensive line. Jesus, Bob, the storylines are endless.
So what do we say out of 10, the Matt Cost anticipation level?
14.
Oh, okay, pretty good. Packers at Saints.
Oh, who's the quarterback for not only the Saints, what about Green Bay? And how grumbly is old grumble man Aaron Rodgers going to be? Is it Taysom Hill? Is it Jameis Winston? The Saints drafted Kelly Trask, the quarterback from Florida. What's going to happen with him during training camp? This one, Bob, I only give an 11 out of 10.
Chargers and Washington.
I mean, we're talking about maybe the best young quarterback in football against maybe the best defense in football. And Washington, will they even have a name by then?
Who can say? Who can say, Matt? So I think it's fair to say, for your opening thought, that it's 100% logical and all the answers you've just given me are 100% illogical.
Oh, yeah. There's nothing really tangible about it, except it's hope generation. It's excitement generation. At least in Calgary, Vancouver, there are some stakes. Players playing for pride for the next contract. If Vancouver loses out, the Canucks, if they lose these three games, they would be tied for the third worst record in the NHL. So that can at least have draft implications.
Okay. I thought of a really weird classic Bob philosophical analogy.
Yep.
You know, the old adage, if a tree falls in a forest, does it make a sound? Mm-hmm. In Vancouver with Calgary, it's all tree, no sound. And with the NFL, it's all sound and no tree.
Perfect.
All right, then. Yes. Do you want to dive into some random questions? Do you want to do Raptors? Maybe we should shout out Jeff Pollock.
Yeah, absolutely. This podcast is sponsored by our lawyer, Jeff Pollock. If you need legal advice, if you need help with litigation, stage trusts, corporate, commercial, real estate law, whatever. Jeff Pollock, small law firm. They will give you the attention you want. Incredibly talented. And at the very least, you can check that off the list of things you got to worry about. Don't got to worry about legal stuff no more. Jeff Pollock at jeffpollock.com. That's Jeff with a G. And the phone number, 416-777-0088. 416-777-0088. jeffpollock.com.
Here, let me throw some dot, dot, dots at you, okay? This is basically just where I throw out statements and then you decide which one you want to talk about.
Done.
Taylor Hall or Jack Eichel, who will score more goals in the next 3 years? Dot, dot, dot. If Oakland leaves the Bay Area, one, shame on MLB, and two, Montreal will get stiffed again in favor of Las Vegas. Dot, dot, dot. And the third one, Edmonton versus Winnipeg is going to leave a city in ruins. Dot, dot, dot.
Well, let's go with city and ruins. And by that, I mean the Oakland A's. See what I did there?
No, nice. Him card read good.
Yeah. So this is the classic playbook where now MLB is basically saying to the city of Oakland, hey, pony up. this team needs a new stadium and all that just same bullshit that goes with it about holding the team hostage and getting taxpayer money. And you show, hey, if the team brings in this much revenue and all this other stuff. So poor Oakland, they lost their basketball team. They lost their football team and they could lose their baseball team.
You know, the wrestling character, Paul Heyman.
Of course.
Remember Landsberg telling me one time that the last name Heyman is actually taken from Jewish culture. And Heyman was kind of like a boogeyman figure. And if kids were bad, you'd be like, be careful. Heyman will get you. And Vegas is about to become the new LA, which is to say they are the Heyman of the sports world. It used to be, you know, especially in the NFL, you could always dangle, oh, you better give us a new arena. We'll go to Los Angeles. But now that dance card is full. So Las Vegas has become the new LA. Anytime someone dicks around, you know, this is not true in hockey anymore because they got the franchise. But in the other three leagues, you can always dangle, Vegas has sports now. We could go.
Yeah, you're right. For decades, it was always the specter of Los Angeles. And now there are two teams in L.A. And yeah, the weird thing about Vegas, remember Bob when gambling was taboo in sports? And now the hockey team is there. The football team is there. And
yes, baseball is threatening. It's actually just two leagues. My apologies.
Yeah. But like all these, every league and gambling was taboo. And now all these teams are going to Vegas.
One of the, I know it is really funny. I don't know if Montreal would be good for baseball. I don't know. I'd like to believe they would be. I think that when it failed there in the 90s, there were a lot of reasons, and they kind of got a quick hook. The discussion of whether Tampa should play half its games in Florida and half in Montreal is just stupid. But it also feels like every league has to have its sad sack city. For years in hockey, there was the second Toronto franchise or the Hamilton team or the Quebec team. And you know that's never going to happen. So if Vegas is the Heyman, Montreal has to be like, oh, geez, this is another one. You know, remember from old Laverne and Shirley, there was the Schlemiel and the Schlemazel?
Yep.
I think the Schlemiel is the one who gets picked on and the Schlemazel who does the picking on. So Vegas is the Schlemazel and Montreal is the Schlemiel.
Yeah. God. It's funny. The moment those stories started happening, everyone north of the border started throwing out Montreal that they would do it. They would do it right this time. But we know it's not going to happen. We just know it.
It was like a kid who finds out the girl he loves just broke up with her boyfriend. And he goes and buys flowers and combs his hair nicely and goes and rings the doorbell just to find out she's never going to like you, you dope.
Oh, yeah. She's like, oh, thank you for being my good friend. Let's hang out and eat popcorn and bad food. And I can tell you about my bounce back boyfriend. Man, that guy's got six pack abs on six pack abs.
Oh, man. I was that guy so many times. Being nice stinks.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's what happens when you got low self-esteem about yourself physically. You're like, all right, I know my place in the world.
Do you know how many times as a kid I heard one day you're going to make a girl so happy, but what the unspoken part was that girl is not me.
Yep. Oh yeah. You're just going to be, you're going to be so great. It's like, I'm going to go home now and masturbate. So, I'll see you later.
Oh, a girl's going to be so lucky to get you one day. And you kind of want to say, you could be that lucky. You could be that lucky starting right now.
We could do it right now. We could skip the middleman and everything. Let's just, here it is.
Oh, man. For being let down gently, it still hurts. But anyway. Okay. So any other of those questions? What about, I kind of want to talk about the Jets versus the Oilers in leaving a city in ruins. There's no question it would be more devastating to Edmonton if they lost.
Yes.
But I kind of think given where the Jets are in their arc, it feels like they're trending down and that team that looked like a real cup contender, you know, that defense is just not what it used to be. But if you're a Jets fan, how devastated are you if you lose this year to the Oilers?
I think you're maybe actually a little less devastated because how the regular season is ending with a whimper. You know, if they ended on a real upward trend, let's say they were in fourth, but then went on a great run and got their way past Montreal, they got the third seed, they're feeling good, and then they get kabonged by McDavid and Draisaitl. I think that hurts more. I think now, I think some of the pain and the negativity, it's already starting to seep in.
We always compare ourselves to Tampa Bay and how Tampa Bay had to go through all this heartbreak, but eventually they won.
Yeah.
My worst case scenario is we compare ourselves to the Jets, which is this team was really smartly constructed, you know, great young players. Dustin Byfuglien was a legitimate number one defenseman. They were so deep down the middle. Like, they were just a really, you know, Patrick Laine, once upon a time, there was a discussion by Gary Lawless in Winnipeg as to whether you'd rather have him or Austin Matthews. Like, it just looked, everything was lined up for them to be successful. And it just didn't happen. My greatest fear is that we become the Winnipeg Jets of Ontario.
Oh, that is a big fear. Good coach. And you can look up and down the line and go, oh, that's a really good player. There's Scheifele and there's Connor. And that's a scary place to be.
I don't want to root against Connor McDavid, but the part of me that fears my own fate is rooting for Winnipeg just to prove to me that, you know, that team doesn't have to be us. You see, that team's still good. Their window didn't close. I know we're at the beginning of that process, but, you know, every situation has a worst case. And as we discussed earlier, my brain is wired to find that immediately.
If Winnipeg won this thing, and also, you know what, though, Bob, we're already thinking round. Oh, we can't, Bob.
Yeah, I'm here now. You're coming in and out. Why don't we take this opportunity to wrap it up just so we don't have to go crazy with this edit?
We do realize I'm going to be spending like a couple extra hours staring out at Lake Muskoka, trying to figure out editing and putting this podcast together.
I do realize that. All right, so I'll give you a closer here, okay, Maddie?
Yeah.
Okay, so let's all agree not to think negatively.
Yes.
You will achieve it. I will not. And when we reconvene on Friday, I was thinking, why don't we do a non-Leafs playoff fantasy draft, you and I, where we both pick 10 players, but we can't do Leafs because you never want to root against them. And, you know, we'll put $20, a $20 bottle of wine on the line for who does better in the fantasy pool, non-Leafs edition.
Done. Love it.
Okay, so we'll do that on Friday. Plus, we'll get into some new trailers and whatever else comes along. And I'm sure by then we'll still be breaking down those NFL first week matchups.
Oh, my God. It's going to be great. Like Gronk back in Foxborough. But here's the sad thing is, Bob, is, you know, because football's so far away, right now I'm excited about Minnesota versus Detroit. But when that game happens, I'm not going to give two sweet shits about it.
And Matt, because it's me, I'm already worried about the Steelers at the Bills.
Bye, Bob.
Bye, Matt.
Thanks for listening to the Macko and Cause podcast. Remember to subscribe on iTunes or Audioboom. And if you like the podcast, leave a review. If you don't like the podcast, then maybe don't leave a review.